Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
This is part two of a message that I started last week called I Choose. I Choose. We're looking at three statements that the Apostle Paul made in a letter that he wrote to a church in a city called Thessalonica. And so in our Bibles, we have this letter. It's called 1 Thessalonians. We also have another letter called 2 Thessalonians, but this is 1 Thessalonians. And as Paul was winding down his letter to this young church, he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and remember, the things that I'm speaking to you about, yes, Paul penned them, but you have to understand the Bible says all Scripture is inspired or God-breathed. These are the words of the Holy Spirit to the church for all times, even though it was specifically written to a church in a town called Thessalonica. And so this morning we are going to once again look at Paul's commands to this young church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It's coming up on the screen, you can follow along. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I entitled this message series, I Choose, because the statements that Paul makes here, the three things that we are studying, are things you can either choose to do or not choose to do. My question is, are you choosing to do them? And maybe for you, you didn't know you needed to do them, and that's one of the reasons that I am preaching about them. But Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are to be joyful always, we are to pray continually, and we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Last week we looked at the first of these commands, which is to be joyful always. And so I had you in your notes say, I choose joy. It's a choice. Joy is a choice. And you can say, no. I can't choose to be happy or not. This is not about happiness. This is joy. This is something you can choose. Joy is a lens through which we view all things. Joy is a lens through which we view all things. We are commanded to be joyful always. And so I left you a key thought last week, and this is, I believe, how we can drive this home. This is how I hope to drive it home, and it's this. I'm not happy about it, but I choose to rejoice in it. I'm not happy about it, but I choose to rejoice in it. Because you are walking through probably a circumstance in your life today that you're probably not happy about. There is something going on. You may be dealing with a physical health issue. You may be dealing with a relational issue. You may be dealing with a financial issue. You may be dealing with a spiritual issue. You just may be dealing with an emotional. You just are feeling down and depressed. Well, you're not happy about that. But you can still choose to rejoice in it. And I'm not going to reteach everything I taught last week, but I'm going to tell you one of the ways that you can choose to rejoice at all times in everything, or to be joyful always, and that is by praising. Praise is something that you and I can do. It is a choice that we make that will open us up to joy and rejoicing. I choose to praise our Lord and Savior. I choose to praise God in the good times. That's when it's easy. I choose to rejoice and praise Him in the difficult times. That's when it becomes hard. But this is what I've discovered, and I'm not the only one. Some of you have discovered this. Others have discovered and taught about it. When I choose to rejoice, when I choose to praise in all circumstances and at all times, something begins to change on the inside of me. The other thing that begins to happen is it's almost as if, and I believe it does, praise releases God to impact that situation. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's long. You say, well, why would you say praise does that? The Scripture teaches that God inhabits or dwells upon the praises of His people. You are inviting God's presence into your life, into your hearts, into that circumstance when you praise. The other thing that happens is when God's presence comes into your praise, the scripture also teaches in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what opens up joy. Praise opens up his presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. That's how we can be joyful always. One way is through praise. So, because I know that time is limited this morning due to everything that we, other things that we had in our service, I invite you to take out your note sheet and let's start with point number two. Point one is this, be joyful always, so we choose joy. Joy is the lens through which we view all things. Number two is pray continually. This is the statement that Paul makes. He says, be joyful always, pray continually. So the statement is, I choose prayer. I choose prayer. Prayer is the power which we release on all things. Joy is the lens through which we view all things. Prayer is the power which we release on all things. There's a very similar thought that the Apostle Paul wrote to another church in Philippi. It's in Philippians chapter 4. And in the New King James Version, this is how it reads. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He starts again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. To the Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians, he says, be joyful always. Then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and in 1 Thessalonians, he says, pray continually. So I choose prayer. Prayer is the power which we release on all things. And here's something else. And just, it's not in your notes, but just hear this. Prayer is the power that you release upon your own heart. Because sometimes when we pray, yes, it impacts circumstances, but sometimes it impacts our own heart. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, and maybe in his day and age, they were able to pray continually. But you know, when there's a command like this in the scripture, be joyful always, pray continually, you know where our hearts and our minds go? Yeah, that can't be done. Listen, this is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says it can be done, it can be done. So we have to define what it means to pray continually. Do any of you have someone, not yourself, but someone that you know, that your statement about them is they are continually on their device? Wow. Now, does that mean every second of the day they're on it? No. What does it mean that they're continually on it? Think about it. If I am continually on this, which I have been accused at times, especially if I'm working on a high score on my game, what does it mean to be continually on this? It means that every spare moment, what does that person do? They reach into their pocket, they reach into their purse, or onto their hip, like where I carry mine. And as soon as they have a spare moment, including that 42 and a half seconds that they're at the red light, they grab this thing. They open this thing. They posted a new picture on Instagram. Ooh, there's new grandbaby pictures. Oh, look at that. Isn't that the cutest? David with him, Nora and David with Ezra. Happy Father's Day, David. They're continually on their device. I believe this is a great example to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. What if you, in your spare moment at the red light, in commercials, if you still watch TV live with commercials, most of us skip past them because we've either recorded it or we're watching on demand. What if during that meal, when the conversation goes into a lull and you haven't checked Snapchat or Facebook or whatever your social media is, what if you did the same thing and prayed? What a difference would or could that make in your life? See, this is what the Holy Spirit is talking about. What do you do with your spare moments? Here's a sad observation that I have made. I have no research to back this up. But for most people that call themselves Christians and followers of Jesus, and I don't believe this church is most people, but I'm just going to broaden it. For most people who call themselves Christians and followers of Jesus, the amount of time that they pray is significantly minuscule. They may say a prayer when they wake up, maybe over a meal, but for the most part, their thoughts throughout the day are not focused on God. They're focused on everything else. But the command is to pray continually. So how do you learn to pray continually? This is what I want to challenge you to do. And I'm going to hope the Holy Spirit is going to put something upon your heart. Every time you reach for your device, before you open it up, or before you spend any time on it, you offer prayer. Let the grabbing of your device, and I got to learn this too when I'm grabbing it off of my hip, especially when it's not there and I reach for it, I always feel kind of stupid. When you grab, may it be a reminder to pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't use your device. I'm not saying you shouldn't be on your device. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying let it be a reminder to pray so that you can develop the habit, you can make the choice to pray continually. As you're going to make a choice to be joyful always, I may not be happy about it, but I'm going to choose to rejoice in it. We can actually take that statement. It's not going to come up on the screen, but we can say, I may not be happy about it, but I'm going to choose to pray continually. So this is what I desire for you to do. Lord, I just want to thank you, or take whatever that circumstance is. Pray every time you grab this. Before you facial recognition it or thumbprint it or actually old school put in your password, or maybe you're not password protected and it just opens. Before you lay your thumb down on the screen, before you hold the screen up to your face, before you tap the first thing, you'll just turn it this way and you'll pray. And you'll begin to learn how to choose to pray continually. And then the third point from this passage is this. Give thanks in all circumstances. You're to be joyful always, you're to pray continually, and you're to give thanks in all circumstances. The Bible does not say give thanks for all the circumstances, although there are some that say we can even give thanks in our negative circumstances because God understands. But in the midst of your negative circumstances, in the midst of your positive circumstances, in the midst of the good and in the midst of the not so good, give thanks. It's interesting that Philippians 4, again, says a very similar thing. The scriptures are going to come up on the screen. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, there it is again, we pray continually, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do we choose? I choose joy. I choose prayer. I choose thanksgiving. And here's the subpoint under thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an attitude by which we respond to all things. Thanksgiving is an attitude by which we respond to all things. We choose to be thankful. We choose to be thankful in all things. And again, I may not be happy about it, but I can choose to be thankful in it. There are story after story after story of individuals who have caught this. And God has done some tremendous things in their lives. Last week I had referenced a man who had written extensively on this back in the 1960s and 70s by the name of Merlin Carruthers. Merlin Carruthers' first book is called Prison to Praise. It is still in print. I would encourage you to read it. It is very encouraging on how he got saved, how he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but then how God began to use him as a chaplain in the United States Army during the Vietnam era to help people understand what God desires to do in their life. He followed it up with some other books, and the one I'm reading from today is Power and Praise, but I want to read to you just a couple of stories of individuals who caught this and began to practice it. At a retreat near Fort Benning, several young people made a promise to thank God for all things. The next day, one of the soldiers was notified that a favorite uncle had been killed in a tractor accident on the farm. Immediately, the thought came to the soldier, "Now see what happened. You made that silly commitment to praise God. Your uncle wasn't even a Christian." The soldier recognized the source of that thought and resisted the temptation to complain to God about his uncle's death. Instead, he prayed, "God, you know how much I love my uncle, but you loved him more. So you must have had a good reason for letting him die. I'll just thank you and praise you for doing what is best." Remember, he wasn't happy about the situation, but he's making a choice. He's choosing joy. He's choosing thanksgiving. The soldier felt a peace about his uncle's death, but was unable to shake off a concern for his cousin, who had just recently accepted Christ as his Savior. Now he was taking, or how was this cousin taking his father's death? The soldier wanted to go home for the funeral in order to encourage his cousin, but he was unable to get leave. "Okay, God," he prayed, "you know all about my cousin, so I'll just thank you that I can't go." He thought he would call home and ask his parents to convey a message to his cousin, and he stepped inside of a phone booth to make the call. When a voice answered on the other end, he immediately recognized his cousin. "How are you?" he blurted out in surprise. "I'm praising the Lord," came the answer. "We're all so glad that Dad accepted Christ several days before the accident." He had time to tell everybody what God had done for him, and we know it was God's will that he go to heaven now. The soldier returned to the retreat to share with the others what had happened. A chaplain's wife who was there promised God that she would thank him also for everything in her life, and so driving home that evening, she had her first opportunity. In 18 years of driving, she'd never had a traffic ticket. This time, she was asked to pull over to the side of the road, and an MP who'd been following her at a distance gave her a ticket for going through an intersection without making the required stop. She explained to the MP that he had made a mistake. Another car, looking just like hers, had failed to stop at the intersection, speeding past her as she came to a complete halt. The policeman did not accept her story, and her first impulse was to be angry and to complain about the injustice. Then she remembered her promise to be thankful in everything. "God, I trust this is your will," she prayed. "I will praise you for the whole experience." Suddenly she discovered that her inner being was flooded with joy. Remember, I told you, be joyful always. How do we do this? We begin to focus differently so that joy can come into our heart. The next day she returned to the retreat and told us what had happened. "Isn't it marvelous?" she said. "We don't have to worry about being treated unfairly or taken advantage of. Even those circumstances become a source of joy and strength when we see God's hand in them and give thanks." Now, I'm sure you're waiting for the story that the police officer came and found out that this didn't happen and she was forgiven the ticket. Didn't happen. But what happened inside of her heart was positive in what God was able to do because she took her focus off. Oh, sometimes we grumble, we complain, circumstances. We let our inside dictate so much of how we act. The Bible says that we are to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Point four, coming up on the screen. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is not a suggestion for you. This is God's will for you. Coming up on the screen. If I choose these, to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, I have chosen God's will for me today. And I believe this is a daily choice. A daily choice. Today, will you choose? Will you choose what God has asked of you? It is for your good. The answers to many of these prayers in the book, as I mentioned last week, sometimes come so instantly that there should be a fine print. Results not typical. But the results do come about. They may not happen as quickly as in these stories. These stories are there to lift our faith. They lifted my faith so that I began years ago to practice this. Do I slip out of it? Yeah. Unfortunately, from time to time, I slip out of it. And I get myself in the complaining, in the grumbling, in the thinking negatively. And when the Holy Spirit brings it back to my mind, I begin to choose the right things. It is amazing how it changes the inside of my life and often how it changes the outside. Will you choose God's will for you today? I hope you will choose joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. People of God, will you choose? Will you choose? Will you choose and allow God to work? Yes, I know some of you are walking through circumstances and situations that are very raw. The anxiety that you're feeling, the pain that you're feeling, the depression that you're feeling, the uncertainty that you're feeling is raw, and it doesn't seem right that you should rejoice in that. You should be thankful in that. It does seem right that you should pray about it, but these other two doesn't seem right. But it's what God says we should do, because when we begin to do them, something happens in the supernatural and in the spiritual where the Spirit of God can begin to work on circumstances, but mostly He begins to work in your heart. This stuff works because I personally have been practicing it for years. I am personally convinced that in some of the darkest times of my life personally, in our marriage, in our ministry, it is because of choices that Sherry and I have made to have joy continually, or to pray continually, to rejoice always, and to give thanks in all circumstances, that we have walked through when it felt like we were going to go under. God loves you. He didn't command us to do these things as a burden. He commanded that we do these things so that our lives could be lifted and that we could walk in a level of experience with God that few people reach because few people understand and practice this regularly. I hope that as circumstances that you are facing right now, you may not be happy about them, but choose to rejoice in them. Choose to praise God in them. Praise God for who He is, what He desires to do. Praise Him for His promises. And if you weren't here last week, listen to last week's message because I talk about how the promises of God are what we praise for. Second thing I pray happens this morning is that you and I will become people who begin to pray continually, because every time we grab our device, it's going to be, first of all, a prompting to pray before a prompting to go to whatever you go to when you open your device. And that you would learn that in everything to give thanks. Does that mean I'm really thankful for this rotten situation? No, you're thankful in it. How can you be thankful in it? Because you're thankful to the God who is with you in it. You're thankful that God knows far more than you do. You're thankful that God could work all things together for good to those that love Him, and He's going to work good out of this. You're not thankful for it. You're thankful in it. And that will make all the difference. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, thank You for this day when we have had so much time to rejoice. To rejoice in Graylin as she was baptized, to rejoice in Scott and Anna and their return to India and that they are fully funded, to rejoice with our missions team going to Peru. They are fully funded, ready to go to impact the nation. Father, we rejoiced in our fathers this day, We thank you for the men that you have given us. And now, Lord, we see in your word that your will for us today, your will for us today, is to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, we choose to do that. For the one that it's difficult for them to do, I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage. Help them, even when they don't feel like it, to speak the words of thanksgiving and joy and prayer. And then, Lord, do what only you can do. Begin to transform a heart and to transform circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.